Awesome. Thank you, worship team. So I'm really excited, and I jumped the gun when we got in because I just wanted to worship. But if I've not had a chance to meet you before, my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here. Come and find me afterwards. I'd love to talk, chit-chat, say hello. We have a special guest here tonight, Stephen Powell. Probably know because you read an advertisement somewhere, so that's why you're here, which is great. And really, all that I know about Stephen is that Bob has been telling me about him for the last couple years. And what an amazing guy in ministry that he walks in and ministers. And so I'm just like, man, Bob, what better way to do this than to let you introduce Stephen, because you know him really well. And so why don't you give us just some little context and welcome him up.
Yeah, I've known Stephen a very long time. We were commissioned together up at Kalifonsky Christian Center up in Alaska back in 2015. Was that right? Yeah. And actually I knew him before that. He was a young man coming into the ministry, letting God do what he wanted to do with him. And he has gone on from there. He has just completely plowed is a really good word, Josh. He has just plowed the way. And he's a revivalist, and he has a healing ministry. The name of his ministry is Line of Light Ministries, and he is just an awesome guy. I have to tell you that. There's nothing that I know in him that is going to be incorrect tonight as he ministers to you. You need to listen to him, hear what God does. That's the thing about Stephen. The thing about Stephen is God moves on him. He fills him with his presence as he ministers to. So if you allow that to minister to you as he flows through him, you will be blessed tonight, and you will not go out of here the same as you came in. Seriously. Okay, so without further ado, let me introduce to you to Stephen Powell, my friend.
Hallelujah. Can we give one up for Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'll give my introductions in a moment, you know, where I'm from. And I guess Bob just said that, but a little bit more about myself. But I like to introduce the ministry in the spirit. If you got a prayer language, just go ahead and pray with me right now in the spirit. Oh, Spirit of God, we thank you for sweeping into this place here tonight, Lord. We thank you for sweeping into this place, Lord, in this hour, in this time, this weekend, Lord. Lord, we thank you that there's no one here, Lord, that's here by accident, God. We thank you that you have divine assignments. You have divine appointments, Lord God, for even people that are in the room here tonight, Lord. Lord, we just welcome your presence, Lord. We've been welcoming you through worship, but we just keep welcoming you, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come and bear witness to the resurrection, to the victory that Jesus has obtained to us through the cross, Lord. Lord, I thank you that no matter what the challenges we're facing here in America, your arm has not shortened, Lord. Your hand has not weakened, Lord. That you cannot stretch forth your hand in this hour and save and heal and deliver to the utmost, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're a mighty God, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Lord, we read about revival history. We read about how you've moved in the past. And Lord, I thank you that you're that same God here today, Lord. I thank you that you're that same God here today. And you love our people. You love these people, Lord. You love this nation, God. You love its people. Lord, fill our hearts with that same love, I pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, let us weep between the porch and the altar, God, for this nation. Oh, and a Messiah. Lord, let us be touched, Lord, with your heart, even for those around us that don't know you. Even for those around us who are lost, Lord. Those who are searching and they're not finding you. Let them find you, God, in this hour, Lord. There's a lot of people today in America, Lord, that want to look at what's going wrong. They want to look at how much we've strayed. But Lord, I see a divine opportunity in this hour to point people back to Jesus. in the chaos, in the confusion, where our government's failing us, where so many things that used to be work so well are failing us, Lord. It's an opportunity to look to you, Lord, the one who will never fail us. Ishikarabosambaya, help us to do that, Lord. Help us to not rely on chariots, on armies, on princes, on kings, Lord, on presidents, on governors. Help us to rely fully on you, Lord. Fully on you. You are the one that gives me my daily bread, not the government. How many of you guys know that's true? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may I be completely dependent on you. Let there be nothing in me, Lord God, that is dependent on this world, that is dependent on anything else, Lord. Let me be completely dependent on you, Lord. I believe that's what a lot of the shaking is about in this hour of saints. I believe that the Lord is trying to get a hold of his bride. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to bring us back to the foundations of the faith, to bring us back to where Jesus is enough. Amen. Jesus is enough. Jesus is all I need. Oh, shikalaboshambabaya. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing in this hour, and we choose to partner with the kingdom of God. We choose to partner with what God is doing. We choose to partner with the spirit of faith, not with the spirit of fear, not with doubt, not with unbelief, Lord. We lift up our eyes. The fields are white to harvest now. In Jesus' name. How many of you guys believe that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that statement Jesus made. He was in Samaria. He said, lift your eyes up. The fields are white to harvest now. And even according to Jesus' own words, it wasn't time to harvest Samaria, right? He said, I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There were times where there were Gentiles and there were other people that tried to come in, and he would stop them, like the Syrophoenician woman. He'd stop her and say, hey, you know, the bread is not for you right now, right? I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he goes to Samaria because there's something about the Lord. There's something about kingdom where the Lord will always find a way to forerun some stuff, right? He'll always find a way to bring some breakthrough, you know, even outside its own time. I mean, just read the Psalms, read David. He was tapping into things that were not available under the old covenant. I don't know if you're aware of that. Whoa, Shambabaya. But he looked at his disciples. He said, look up, the fields are white to harvest now. And all it took was one woman, just one woman being touched at the well. You remember that? One woman being touched at the well. And then she went into the city and she said, come here, a man that told me everything I ever did. Not just a little word of knowledge, right? We're talking about full disclosure. We're talking about the Father taking back the curtain and really reading her mail. Amen. Impactful. And then the Bible says the whole city came out to hear him, and they experienced a harvest that some might say even out of its time, right? And he said, you just got to look up. You got to align your perspective with heaven. I believe many times this is why we have delayed blessings. We have delayed breakthroughs. We're having things that God's promised us now that we're not walking in because we're too conditioned to think like the world. We're due conditioned even to think like other people in the church that aren't heavenly minded, that aren't kingdom minded. Amen. But when Jesus said, look up, he's saying, capture the gaze of the Father. Capture the perspective of heaven. Amen. I don't know if you're aware of this. That's why you have your Bible. You have your Bible for the renewing of your mind so you can experience that transformation that God has given to all of us through the cross. Amen. Oh, shikalabayambrabaya. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Lay yourself down. Give up your body as a living sacrifice. This is your acceptable service before God. Amen. He says, and be renewed, be transformed through the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, what is the acceptable, what is the perfect will of God. Whenever you receive a transformed mind, a renewed mind, and you start to experience that transformation, you actually prove, even through your own life, what God's good, acceptable, and perfect will is. That's what I believe that's talking about. Hey, shikalaboshambabaya. How you guys doing tonight? Are you all right? This is what I call revelating. I just revelate a little bit here and kind of just see what the Lord has. Hey, shikalaboshambabaya. Thank you, Jesus. Just put your hand on your head right now. Lord, let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let us catch heaven's gaze. Let us catch heaven's perspective, Lord. Let us come up higher. Isaiah 55. My ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. Lord, let my thoughts be your thoughts, Lord. Oh, Shambaya, so that my ways might be your ways, Lord. Hey, some of you are not getting heaven's results. You're not getting what the Bible promises because your ways are not his ways. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. But Lord, let there be a union. Let there be a joining together, even through the cross, Lord. And let my thoughts be your thoughts. Let my ways be your ways, Lord. Let there be a synchronization, God, between me and you, between earth and heaven, God, in my life, Lord. Oh, shikalabashambaya. And let there be transformation, God, this year in 2023 through the renewing of my mind. I just prophesy in Jesus' name that there's mindsets being broken this year that have existed for years and decades that have caused a certain result in your life. They're being broken this year so that you might get a different result this year moving forward, says the Lord. It is insanity doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But there's some people, they don't know any better because they have a stronghold that causes them to keep doing the same thing. But the Bible says our weapons in God are mighty, mighty in God. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down, the tearing down of these strongholds. Lord, I pray, let these strongholds, even of the mind, Lord, be torn down this year. You are more than a conqueror. You're a child of the King. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen people, a chosen nation. You've been set apart. You've been called out. You're a peculiar people, says the Lord. You're not just an American citizen. You're not just a Washingtonian. You're not just whatever society says you are. You're a child of the King. You are royalty. You've been born from above. You've been made in the image of God, the image and likeness of God. Hey. Oh, Shindalabosambabaya. Lord, whatever is reigning inside of us right now that is not in line with that royal identity, I pray, let it come down. Let it be torn down in this hour in Jesus' name. Let it be torn down in this hour in Jesus' name. Every stronghold, every thought, every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, let it be torn down in Jesus' name. I just hear the Lord saying that right now. There's some of you that have been crying out, some of you that have even become desperate, and you're like, Lord, I've been praying, and I'm not getting the result. And the Lord says, you can pray all you want, but until you change your mind, until you repent, until you renew your mind according to my word, you're going to keep getting that same result. I just prophesy that in Jesus' name. Transformation through the renewing of the mind. The word stronghold in the Greek there in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, it literally means a fortress, a castle, a stronghold. An internal structure, an internal fortitude that people actually begin to live from, right? And it's interesting, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within. Don't go looking here or there. You know, he said for the kingdom of heaven is within, right? You remember that? So there's internal structures, if you will, of the kingdom, and there's of the kingdom of light, and there's internal structures, if you will, also of the kingdom of darkness. And depending on where you're living from, are you living from the kingdom of God or are you living from the kingdom of darkness? Those structures, that's actually going to determine your life experience. That's going to determine the result many times. So these strongholds have to be torn down and we have to live from truth. Amen? And when you live from the truth, I just have a revelation about this I have to share with you. When you live from truth, it completely transforms your life experience. A lot of times people want to feel different, okay, in order for the truth to be validated. But in the kingdom, you have to receive the truth, begin living from the truth, act on the truth, and then the feeling comes. Then the experience comes. We're talking about healing in the kingdom. There's many of you that will not experience a turnaround, even in how you feel in your body, until you accept the truth, you internalize the truth, you stand on the truth, you make the truth yours, you speak the truth, you stand on it daily, and you begin to walk in the truth of healing. Are you hearing me tonight? But recently I had a prophetic experience. How many of you guys believe in prophetic experiences? Anybody? It's in the Bible, so it's for me. Amen. It's in the Bible, so it's for me. Hallelujah. Elijah, the Bible says, was a man like us, right? A man, a person like us. So a lot of times we make these people so much higher, you know, but God wants to bring it down to our level and say, hey, I want you to experience the kingdom as a son, as a daughter. Amen. But I believe in experiencing the kingdom. So the Lord, a lot of times, doesn't just tell me something, but he shows me. He does show and tell, right? And you've ever heard a picture, you know, speaks 1,000 words? Well, God's the one who invented that. You know that, right? There's many times in the scripture where the Lord's like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to show you. Right? Here you go. Here's a dream. Here's a vision. So I saw recently somebody living in a prison. I saw this prison that was constructed brick and mortar of their own device, okay, of their own hands. And I said, Lord, what is this? They said, the Lord said, this is a prison of their soul. This is an internal prison that they have constructed. And the Lord said, these prisons are never constructed alone, but they're constructed in cooperation, usually with the Spirit. So you see, you can cooperate with the Holy Ghost to build up an internal fortitude where literally you begin to live from the kingdom. So what is a castle? What is a fortress? It's something that provides safety, right? It provides protection, amen? How many of you guys think we need protection from the thoughts of the enemy? How many of you guys think we need protection from the attacks of the enemy, from the assault of the enemy? Well, when you have internalized truth that becomes those strong fortresses, even within, the enemy will come and lie to you. He'll even bring life experiences to validate his lie in your life. He'll tell you a lie, and then he'll bring some sort of circumstances and say, see, I told you you're that. I told you this is going on. But when you're built up in the truth, even internally, and you cannot be moved from that place, it will repel the lie. Are you hearing me? It will repel the lie, and it will only receive the word of the Lord. It will only receive truth. So when you have a castle or a fortress or a stronghold, it keeps certain things out. It provides protection, but it also provides an internal environment in which life can be lived, right? I mean, think of your home, right? Your home is a protective structure, but it's also a place, I know for me, where I do life, amen? Where I have experiences with my children and my wife and my family, and it's a beautiful thing, right? So literally, what you build internally determines life experience. It determines how you live your life. You ever met people that like, they live the same lives, apparently, but like one's completely miserable and one's always happy? I'm telling you, it's according to the internal. It's according to where they're living from, what truth they're living from, or what lie they're living from. So these strongholds, they have to be torn down. They have to be torn down. I don't have the exact scripture reference here, but it talks about waging war in the spirit. It talks about how you have to wage war against these strongholds Paul was talking about. And the Greek word for waging war, it means to wage a strategic campaign for a prolonged period of time, right? So how many of you guys know sometimes lies that have been built up, they're not just going to come down with one little statement of truth, right? This is why we have to meditate the Word of God every single day. We have to meditate in the Word of God day and night. We can't just rely on Sunday's bread once a week. Come on, somebody. We can't just rely on Sunday school once a week. Some of these lies, you took years, you took an entire childhood to build up in yourself, and it's going to take a strategic, consistent military campaign that's waged against that internal castle in order to get it to fall. Amen? It's going to take a calculated, consistent siege by you day and night saying, you know what? I don't care if I still feel that way. That's not what God's word says. Are you hearing me? People give up because, Lord, I've been quoting this scripture for 10 days and I still feel horrible. I still feel like an idiot. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel. What does God's word, say? Are you hearing me? And I promise you, if you are consistent with applying the truth, if you are consistent with baptizing yourself into the word of truth, into God's word of faith, I promise you the experience will eventually change. The feelings will eventually change. Amen? But we've been so conditioned, especially in our society today, to just live by our feelings instead of what God's word says, that we're being overcome. We're being overcome in the home. We're being overcome in our marriages. We're being overcome, you know, in our parenting. We're being overcome in the church. Are you hearing me tonight? But these strongholds, they must come down. And the kingdom must be internalized. The kingdom those internal structures, they must be built. We must begin to live from the truths that we claim we hold to. Amen? It can't be something that we just give lip service to. It can't be something that we just amen at once a week on Sunday. It's something we have to live from. Amen? We have to live from it. So, once again, I'm still ministering prophetically here. This is a vision I saw. And I saw even this person how there was actually an evil spirit that partnered with this person. I saw a demon, not just them, but I saw a demon in the encounter putting up some bricks as well. So how many of you guys know sometimes if you keep going down the path of believing lies and feeding lies, right, and building according to lies, you can actually tap into a greater force in the spirit realm. You can tap into supernatural validation of the lie. But you know what? It works the same way on the kingdom side. If you continue to reinforce the truth of God's word, you're going to tap into Holy Ghost power, okay, that really begins to put the seal on that. That really begins to put the final touches on what it is that God's doing. Amen? And God wants to raise up this end time army of bridal warriors that are unshaken. They're unshaken. No matter what's happening around them, no matter what's happening in the nation, no matter what's happening in the economy, they're living in the kingdom. They're following Jesus. They're serving Jesus. They're taking up their cross daily and following the Lord, no matter what the storms of life bring. Amen? Is it all right if I just preach from my heart here tonight a little bit? I promise you I will pray for the sick this week, right? I promise you I will talk about some specific things that involve healing, because we do have a healing ministry. But, you know, I never want to, you know, box myself in and say, well, Lord, you know, I told the people, you know, so therefore whatever the Holy Spirit has for tonight, it's going to have to wait for tomorrow, right? I try to be led of the Spirit. How many of you guys think that might be a good thing, right? I try to be led of the Spirit. Hey, shikaraboshom babayam brabaya. If you have your Bibles, just go to John. I'm going to go here real quick. John, down in my heart. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But the Lord is targeting, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to reiterate it, because this is for, I believe, multiple people here tonight. The Lord is targeting strongholds that have existed for years and decades. He's targeting strongholds in your life. And be prepared when some of these internal structures begin to shake, be prepared for your life to shake. Be prepared for other things to begin to shake, because sometimes we don't realize how much we've got riding on a lie in our life. How much of our own identity has been shaped around a lie and not from truth. So, this is what's supposed to happen when you get saved. You're supposed to be translated from darkness into light. You're supposed to have a paradigm shift. You're supposed to receive a new identity. But there's some people, they hold on to stuff for years, even after they've come to the Lord. But the Lord wants us to give it to Him, amen? He wants us to receive this transformation of grace and glory that Jesus purchased at the cross with His own blood. Amen? I just have faith, saints, that Jesus purchased something for the bride that is so amazing. It's so glorious. And I believe that we're living in a time and we're living in an hour where Jesus is going to receive the full reward of His suffering in you and I. Amen? Oh, I'm not talking about a super preacher here or a super evangelist there. I'm talking about a bridal company rising. Amen? Overcoming everything that's overcome us. John chapter 12 is the passage. Sorry, John chapter 12. And while you're turning there, let me just say a few other things here. Hey, at some point here tonight, I will take up an offering for our ministry. So just even go ahead and prepare your heart even now for it. Just say, Lord, what would you have me do tonight? And just be obedient. That's what I always say with our offering. I don't, you know, pump it for an hour and, you know, twist people's arm till it hurts in the spirit. Hey, you've been in some of those services, right? Praise the Lord. Hey, I just trust the Lord fully. My name is Stephen Powell. I'm married to a wonderful lady named Amanda. And I have four children, one girl, my oldest, and then three boys. Hallelujah. So my wife's back home with them right now. Pray for her. Intercessors pray. Hallelujah. I've had a call on my life for ministry since a very young age. I'm prophetically gifted from the Lord, and that began to manifest at a very young age. Just want to tell you a little bit about myself. Is that okay? Before I get into my third message here? Hey. I was born and raised in Alaska, fifth generation Pentecostal preacher, praise God. Can anybody tell? I can't hardly say a sentence without throwing a little shakaramaya in there. Hey. When I really came to the Lord, how many of you guys know if you grow up in church, eventually you can't just continue on the faith of your parents. Eventually you got to make Jesus your own, right? So I remember there came a point where I really chose to serve the Lord as a teenager. And the moment that happened, the call for ministry for me came. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to preach the gospel, go to the uttermost parts of the earth, heal the sick, all that stuff, right? And the moment the call for ministry came, I began fasting and I began praying. And I began memorizing scripture. I memorized hundreds of scriptures as a teenager. So I don't know if did this happen for anybody else, that when you got saved, there's just certain things that you knew instinctually you had to do. Anybody else? Right? I'm telling you, there's something amazing that happens there. But I believe many times when people come to the Lord, they get a sense of an awakening of their destiny, an awakening of identity of who they truly are in Christ. Amen? And that happened very, very strongly for me. But at the same time, as that awakening was happening, the enemy saw it as well. And the enemy came for me as a teenager. And I can remember I began preaching in our youth group, and I began ministering under the anointing as a 16-year-old young man. And my youth pastor and his wife had come from Miami, Florida. And we lived in a small town, Slotin, Alaska, where Bob's from, Bob and Tony. And I remember my youth pastor and his wife, they came from Miami, Florida, and they came from a very rough background. My youth pastor was in gangs, and his wife actually was a prostitute before she came to the Lord. And this was renewal days in the 90s, right, where, I mean, tons of people are getting saved, and they came from Florida, right, over the overflow of, like, the Brownsville revival. And, you know, they got a little bit of training in ministry, probably, like, only 9 months, and they're immediately thrust in, right? You know, we're like, we need help, right, some of these churches. And, you know, sometimes we should run a background check or something, you know, before we, you know, put people, you know, with other people's kids. But anyways, another sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. So they come up to our church, and it's unfortunate, but a lot of times we have still very, very broken people, you know, that get put in places of leadership based on their charisma or based on their gifting, right? But how many of you guys know charisma and gifting isn't enough? We need character as well. We need to have Christ formed in us. Amen? So I can remember as a 16-year-old boy, the anointing started to come. And my youth pastor's wife actually became infatuated with me. It's a 16-year-old. And she began crossing relational boundaries and began saying things to me that a woman should only ever say to her husband, right? And I can remember in those days when she would say these things to me, she'd say things like, "Oh, Stephen, if only I wasn't married." She'd say things like that to me. And I can remember that when she said those things, it was like a hook went into my soul. You see, I was prophetic. I was beginning to see in the spirit at the time. I didn't even know what was happening. I was seeing the spirit. That's what I saw in the spirit. So like a hook went in my soul. And from that day forward, I thought about it all the time. See, I know what I'm talking about when I talk about strongholds. I've dealt with it from a young age, having to tear those things down. But to make a long story short, I ended up having an affair with my youth pastor's wife. She's 31 years old. I was 16 years old. And the crazy thing about it is, I love the Lord. I read my Bible every day while I was having an affair. I went to church. I worshiped Jesus. And that's the thing about deception. It's pretty deceiving. Who would have thought it? And when you have emotions involved, high emotions, like come whenever you think you're in love, you will justify any wrong. You will justify any sin. And that's the whole point. That's why Satan wants to ensnare your soul, because that's the emotional realm. And many times when people get into those emotional places, it overrides what they know to be right versus wrong, right? That's why you have to humble your soul. David said, "I humbled my soul with fasting." You have to humble your soul, your entire being before God, and say, "I will choose the truth of God's word. I will choose what's right, even if it doesn't feel good." In case you're wondering, this is what the cross is for. Amen? We die to everything that would exalt itself above the name of Jesus. So, this affair ensued, And the Bible says in Revelation 2:20 that Jezebel calls herself a prophetess, and she seduces the servants of God to commit sexual immorality. So this woman began to come to me and tell me that she was having prophetic dreams from the Lord. So it wasn't just, you know, sensual. There was a spiritual, supernatural seductive element to it, right? See, Jezebel has supernatural seductive elements. And she came to me, started telling me dreams like, hey, I dreamed that my husband died and you became my next husband. So then the deception got even deeper. Not only was I attracted, but now I'm the white knight that God sent to save her. You see how twisted this is? But I tell you what, saints, I thank God I have a Pentecostal mother who was praying for me. Hey, come on, somebody say amen. I have a Pentecostal Holy Ghost mama that gets up every morning, intercedes and prays. And before it went all the way, it almost went all the way. It had already gotten physical. Before it went all the way, my mother's up praying one morning. And the Lord speaks to my mother and says, go and toss your son's room. Almost like, you know, the warden tossing the cells, right? I'm joking. Never mind. That was a joke. My mom's not a warden. But anyways, that's what I thought about, you know, when you think of like toss the room, right? But the Lord said, go and search his room. He has things in there that you need to know about right now. So my mother wasn't someone that would invade my privacy or whatever, but when she heard God, she moved on it, and she went and searched my room and found these inappropriate letters from this woman. These romantic letters. Is this okay that I share this? Is this all right? Is this a little too real for some people? This is my testimony, because although it was a test, a major test, God delivered me, amen? He delivered me and saved me, and I'm standing before you today, you know, because he is faithful, amen? Even when we're messed up, he's faithful, right? So, long story short, I know I've said that a few times, but long story short, the whole situation blew up. It got exposed, okay? My youth pastor and his wife, they fled the state. They moved back to Florida. Crazy thing, my youth pastor did die shortly thereafter. Literally died. So I tell people, you get mixed up with a Jezebel spirit, Jezebel imparts the kiss of death. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. So her demonic prophecy through the dream came to pass. And I can remember being so broken as a young man, so confused. There was not one leader in my church that recognized it as a Jezebel spirit. Still to this day, that just amazes me. It's like so clearly a Jezebel spirit. But not one leader recognized it for what it really is. So I felt very, very lonely. I was very, very confused. Because when a Jezebel spirit comes against you, it releases witchcraft. And confusion is always a hallmark of witchcraft. That's why the Bible says in 1 Kings 19, Elijah had to get alone, away from that woman. He had to put distance between him and that woman. He had to wrap his head in his mantle, right? You got to get alone with God, and you got to completely baptize yourself into the word of the Lord and in prayer. You got to get a clear word from God. Amen? That's the solution to confusion and witchcraft. You got to shut everything else out and say, God, I am going to hear from you this week. I am going to hear from you this weekend. So maybe there's some of you, even in this room here tonight, that are saying, Lord, I need a clear word from heaven. I want to suggest that you baptize yourself this weekend into the word of the Lord. I want to suggest that you consecrate yourself unto the Lord and say, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible a little more. I'm going to pray a little more. I'm going to really pay attention in the services and get a word from the Lord. I promise you, if you come before the Lord like that, he will meet you. Amen? He will meet you. So the Lord delivered me from that. And I went from one Jezebel situation actually into another Jezebel situation, believe it or not. My high school years were all Jezebel, right? There was one person in my youth group that still decided to be my friend, but she happened to be this girl that had an obsession for me for many years. I went over to her house for the first time, I remember, and she had like an entire wall dedicated to me with all these pictures. That should have been enough of a warning sign, right, to run the other way. But for some reason, there's something very demonic that happens in cases of sexual misconduct, especially in the church. Oftentimes, Satan blames the victim, gets the victim to blame themselves, right? The fact of the matter is, I was 16 years old, my youth pastor's wife was 31, and a leader in the church. How many of you guys think that might not be equal footing, right? But I blamed myself for many, many years. Even after I got married at 20 years old, right, to my precious wife at 18, I still blamed myself for many, many more years. Because when you have these type of attacks, many times it comes with shame and guilt that the enemy uses to hold you in bondage for years. That's why we need the ministry of inner healing. Come on, somebody. We need the ministry of deliverance. We need to apply the finished work of a cross. And it shouldn't be that believers get attacked like this and they carried the stuff for years. Amen. Not when Jesus died to take it all. Amen. Oh, shikalabashambaya. But I remember I started going over to this girl's house shortly after this because she was the only one that remained my friend after that youth group. Everybody else in the youth group blamed me. They're like the young hormonal teenager that went after the youth pastor's wife and blew up our youth group. How dare you? Right? But I would start going over to her house, and her mother started to interact with me. And I actually looked up to her mother because her mother actually introduced me to the healing ministry. At that point, I had no idea that Jesus is the healer. And I can remember she was watching a healing ministry every single day. And I remember I stepped in one day in the living room and saw my first miracle on the television. It was actually Benny Hinn's This Is Your Day. And I saw my first miracle on television. And how many of you guys know, even though there's not a doctor there testing, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you to the truth. Amen? And I knew that day when I saw that miracle on television that the Holy Spirit had just bore witness to me. I saw my first miracle. And I kind of grew up in a church where they talked about healing. They talked about this stuff, but you never really saw it, right? You never really saw the manifestation of the thing they claimed to believe. And that was so powerful. So, you know, this lady, my friend's mother, she became like a spiritual mentor. I really looked up to her. She started, you know, giving me books to read. So I started reading all these Holy Ghost books, right? And pretty soon, the mother started coming to me and saying, "Stephen, I've been having dreams about you and my daughter." Oh, Lord, here we go. "You're supposed to marry my daughter." Just a little clue, you know. If God wants you to make a big life decision, you know, like marriage, he'll speak to you. Okay? He'll speak to you. It should never be forced on you. It should never be pressured. There should never be any manipulation. Manipulation is a Jezebel tool, okay? The Holy Spirit will lead. The Holy Spirit will confirm. Amen? The Holy Spirit will confirm the mouth of three of your witnesses. It will not manipulate. It will not get you to feel bad, you know, if you don't, you know, give in to manipulation. So I found myself once again bound by the Jezebel spirit and saying things like, well, I was so confused still under so much of this bondage. I said, well, maybe the Lord's going to have me marry someone that I don't want to marry just to humble me. I mean, you guys know that's not a good statement of faith, right? I can assure you, God will not subject you to a lifetime of misery just to humble you. Got plenty of other ways to humble you, amen? How many of you guys know God wants to bless you? How many of you guys know he wants to bless you? He wants to give you good things in this life, amen? I love this scripture in Psalms. He wants to make us to drink from the river of pleasures, amen? The rivers of pleasure, not just one river, rivers of pleasure, amen? There's something about when you're under the jurisdiction of an evil spirit, sometimes when you get physical distance between you and that person that's wielding that spirit, you actually begin to get clarity. Remember that. If there's a spirit at work, okay, around someone, okay, that's working through someone that's around you, at times you'll get physical distance between you and them, and you'll start to have clarity on some things because you come up under the cloud, from under the cloud, right? Remember that. So after I graduated, I remember I went to another town that was about an hour and a half away to do a summer job, and I began to come up away from that, from under that cloud, and I began to get clarity. I began to hear the voice of God again. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, when you go back home in the fall, this is the year 2004, right after I graduated, when you go back in the fall, he said, I want you to fast and pray for 6 months. He said, I don't want you to move on with college or career or any of that stuff right now. I said, I want you to dedicate yourself for 6 months fasting and praying, seeking the Lord, right? So, hallelujah. That's what I did. I got home in August, and I began to fast. I began to pray. And about 3 weeks into it, about 21 days in it, something about 21 days. I don't know. Is that in the Bible somewhere? 21 days, right? About 21 days into it, I remember I was up late one night praying. I must have prayed that day for 11 hours straight. I mean, I was really intensely going for it and beginning to experience a visitation of his presence. How many of you guys have ever had a visitation of the presence? Oh, it's glorious. Amen. There's something about the presence of the Lord, right? When you come to the presence of the Lord, there's something about when you go on from the presence into the glory. Amen. And you begin to experience transformation in the glory. I don't know about you. I'm hungry for that. Amen. I don't want a little dabble, do you? I want to be transformed in the glory. Amen? Oh, more, Lord. Hey, shikalaboshambabaya. Release it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just so you know, when I'm talking about stuff like this, there's an invitation in the spirit realm. there's an invitation for those that would connect in faith and say, Lord, I want more. Do you want more tonight? Do you want more this weekend? I want to tell you more is available. Any testimony that I tell you, I believe it's an invitation to come deeper into his presence, an invitation to know him more. Amen? Oh, Shambhabaya. But I remember I was up late one night. I was praying. I think I had prayed on my knees for about 4 hours straight that day or that night. And I was on my knees and I was worshiping and I was praying. And I heard a noise outside my door in the hallway. And I grew up in this house where you had these old floors, right, where you could hear, you know, the wooden floors. You could hear where someone is, you know, in the house just by the creak of the boards, you know. You could locate. So those boards are creaking out there, and it's like someone's walking around outside my door. And I'm like, I could see under the threshold that there was no light on. So I'm like, what, is my dad walking around in his sleep or something? What's going on? So eventually I got up. Curiosity got the best of me, and I opened the door. And it was like a wave of glory. It was like a tsunami of glory. Just went, whoa, my sternum just popped. Hey. but it was like the whole room suddenly went underwater. It was like the whole room suddenly just the atmosphere changed, right? How many of you guys know there's an atmosphere in heaven and it's different than here? Amen? It's different than here. It's much easier on the bones, I assure you. It's much gentler, you know, on our form here. But it was like the atmosphere of heaven just filled the room. And then I begin to, like, my eyes begin to adjust in the spirit. And all I saw at first was two eyes, and they were burning. They were on fire right in front of me, about just like arm's length away, these two eyes. And then I heard a voice from the eyes, the midst of the eyes, say this. The voice said, I have sought you with burning eyes. Now that you have me, now that I have you, remain mine. I have sought you with burning eyes. Now that I have you, remain mine. Isn't that beautiful? And then the eyes begin to move towards me, and I started to back up. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And I kid you not, God is my witness. Jesus stepped in the room and appeared to me that night. How many of you guys believe that still happens today? I'm telling you, he's alive. I've witnessed him. He's alive, amen? He's not still in the tomb. He's alive. He's still visiting people today. Hey. But I remember those eyes turned into his full form, and he walked in the room, and it felt like at least one earth hour, right? I say earth hour because when you're caught up in the glory, it can be hard to tell. You know, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, right? You know, but that's what it felt like in my own conscious mind. It felt like 1 hour where I sat down on the carpet with the Lord, and the Lord just began to speak to me, and he actually took me through several scriptures. He took me to scriptures in the Bible, and he began to tell things to me about my destiny. He began to tell things to me about things he's going to use me to do. I remember he brought me to Exodus chapter 3, and he showed me a very interesting scripture where Moses was given these signs. You remember this? He was given the sign of the stick that would become a snake, and then he would grab it by the tail and it'd become a stick again. He's given three signs in particular. And the Lord spoke that to me. He said, I'm giving you a sign this day. And this shall be a token unto you. This shall be a sign unto you that I have called you. Right? And the sign ended up being he anointed my head with oil. And from that day forward, I felt the oil dripping all the time down my head. And I still feel it to this day. Right? Just one touch of the presence of God, even on the front row tonight, just the moment our brother began to play, I feel the oil begin to ooze. Isn't that amazing? It's like real. I physically feel it as if someone's dumping oil on my head. Isn't that wonderful? But that was so precious to me during what I call the wilderness years, because the Lord took all my 20s. He took all my 20s, did not allow me to go into ministry after that, right? Similar to David. David was anointed, then he had to go back out to the shepherd fields, right? That was what the Lord called me to do. And I can remember doing some of the most horrible jobs you can imagine in my 20s. And I'd be doing those jobs faithfully under the Lord, providing for my family. And I'd feel the oil oozing, right? And I'd remember the call. And I never gave up on the calling. I never gave up on the word of the Lord. Amen? Aren't you glad that when the Lord gives you a word, it's not your weakness, but it's his strength that empowers you to walk it out? Amen? Even when you're weak, the grace of God will come and propel you into the call. Amen? I don't know how many times I gave up in my 20s, but the Lord just kept bringing me back by his grace. He kept bringing me back. I'm going somewhere with this, right? I'm going to tie this all into Jezebel here in a second, so just stay with me. But I remember when he anointed my head with oil, he had me kneel down. Okay, he had me get on my knees, and he took out a horn of oil. It was a horn of oil, and he poured the entire thing over my head. Whoa, I feel the glory. Praise the Lord. Hey, shikalaba thamba baya. And he anointed me for my ministry that day, even though I wasn't able to actually get into full-time ministry until 11 years later. 11 years later, at 30 years old. Hey, that was what Bob was referring to tonight in 2015. We got commissioned together at 30 years old when I was 30. He wasn't 30, but I was 30. Hey. Hey, but listen to this. Yeah, I won't tell how old, but hey, shekarabaya. But after he anointed my head with oil, and he said, I'm anointing you for your ministry, it was almost like, it's kind of hard to explain this sometimes, but like a new realm opened up in vision world, and I saw a vast wilderness before me, and the Lord walked out in the wilderness. He said, come with me into the wilderness, right? So he called me into a wilderness. And I was like a little resistant to it, you know. I was like, I thought you did my wilderness for me, you know. I'm a grace guy, right? Has anybody ever heard that? Anyways. But there's something about the wilderness. God many times will use wilderness seasons, seasons of hiddenness to prepare his servants, to prepare people. And that's why if you rush too much into sometimes the things of God and get ahead of God, you won't be properly prepared to withstand the storms that are going to come because of your calling, because of the anointing that God's put on your life. When the anointing comes on your life, there's a target that comes on your life the same day. Remember that. But if you cooperate with God in the seasons of preparation, you will never be shaken when those storms come. Amen? I'm convinced that's one of the number one reasons why we see these meteoric rises of revivalists and power ministries in the earth only to be torn down within a matter of months or years is because they never submitted to the wilderness years when God was preparing them. Are you hearing me? That is a chief difference between the ministry of Saul and the ministry of David. Saul had no history with God. David had years in the fields, years of intimacy. And even then, he built himself up to Goliath. He didn't start with Goliath. First it was a lion, then it was a bear, then it was Goliath. And it was a lion and a bear in hiddenness where no one could see it but him and God. So are you willing to have some of your greatest victories when nobody else can see it, when you don't get any likes on Facebook? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good now. God wants to kill the narcissism in his preachers. Somebody's like, what's narcissism? Another sermon, hey. But the Lord called me into the wilderness. Then, okay, he gave me one last word. The last word was this, before he, you know, before vision world disappeared and he went back to heaven. He said, you know that girl you've been hanging out with? He said, I don't want you to ever talk to her or her mother again. Don't ever talk to her or her mother again. That's what he said. When you're dealing with a strong evil, when you're dealing with a strong spirit that's controlling witchcraft, it sometimes takes extreme measures to break the stronghold. Extreme measures. And some people are not willing to take sometimes those extreme measures to do what is necessary to get freedom because they don't want to offend. Because they don't want to shake the boat. Because, oh, that's a little too cruel, Lord. So I remember I went to my youth pastor at the time and I told him this visitation that I had, and he rebuked me to my face. He said, you haven't heard God. He said, if you do this, you're going to miss out on a blessing that you could have. He was convinced that it was the Lord too, but I knew that God had spoken to me that it was not the Lord, that I was not supposed to marry that girl. I had no idea it was Jezebel at the time, but the Lord did, amen. And he decided to come down and give me a word about it face to face. So I remember I did that. Of course, it was very, very hard because I was viewed as the mean guy, you know, that just crushed this girl, right? But I remember within a matter of months, I met my wife, who I'm married to today. Amen? Isn't that amazing testimony? Who I have four beautiful children with. We got engaged the next year, right? We were married the year after, and we married at 20, and she was 18, and we've been together ever since, and God has so blessed me. But God delivered me from Jezebel and then gave me a beautiful virgin bride. Hallelujah. Isn't that the Lord? Amen. Whoa. So that's just a little nugget of my testimony. That's just the teenage years, man. If I got into the rest, man, we'd be here for a while. Praise God. But that became the foundation of an amazing walk with God. And I thank God that my walk with God began as a teenager. I had trouble. I had turmoil right from the beginning. I had some major assignments against me, but God was faithful. Amen. He was faithful to deliver me. He was faithful to preserve me. Amen. I was preserved. He was faithful to preserve the call. You know, sometimes when people get hurt in the church, they run from the church. They demonize the church. They say, I got hurt there. I don't ever want to be there again. And of course, that was part of the strategy of the enemy. But the enemy couldn't take my virtue as a young man. And he couldn't take my calling either. He couldn't take the anointing. The Lord preserved it. Amen. Wow. Shambra baba kandara ba shamba baya. But I just want to tell you here tonight, God is faithful. He's faithful. Even when you feel weak, he's strong for you. Even when you've given up, God never gives up on you. Amen? Oh, shikala basombra, kiala basamba baya. Oh, rabasin kala basombra, bayesa kala baya. Oh, shikala basamba baya. Lord, I just thank you that there's wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus to deliver us from every force of darkness that comes against us. Lord, I thank you that there is wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus to deliver us from every power of darkness that has been arrayed against us. And Lord, even as you've delivered me, Lord, from that Jezebel spirit, even many years ago, Lord, I pray just release your delivering power, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. If there are powers at work, if there are lying spirits, spirits of confusion, I just bind right now the lying spirit in Jesus' name. I just bind spirit of confusion right now in Jesus' name. God is not the author of confusion, but of truth in Jesus' name. Yes, somebody, I just see the Lord taking his sword, his double-edged sword, and I see him just piercing individuals' souls and minds and hearts. And I see him just cutting through all the clutter, cutting through all the confusion, and bringing clarity of thought and singularity of thought in Jesus' name. I'm reminded of this scripture where Jesus said, if the eye is single, then the whole body will be full of light. You guys remember that scripture? If the eye is single. I just believe that there's an anointing here tonight to focus on that one thing that Lord wants you to focus on and shut out everything else. Shut out everything else. You know, many times distractions are demonic. We just treat them as innocent distractions, but many times distractions are demonic. Amen. And one of the most powerful things you could do is focus on what the Lord is wanting you to focus on in this season. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you guys there in John 12? Hallelujah. 8:30. Praise the Lord. The Bible says here in John 12, verse 1, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. So you have this, literally this manifestation of Jesus' resurrection and power sitting at the table. Only days before, you know, I don't know exactly how long before, but he was stinking in the grave. And now he's sitting there eating with them. Amen? I mean, what an incredible sign. What an incredible manifestation to who Jesus was. I believe the Lord wants to do that in your life. I believe the Lord wants to do signs, wonders, miracles in your life where literally they stand as a testimony to who Jesus is to you. They stand as a testimony to who Jesus is to you. You know, I heard this testimony recently of a man who, you know, left his wife years ago, had an affair, thought he was in love with this woman, and divorced his wife, you know, who he had 2 children with. I mean, just devastation, horrible, right? But then he eventually came to his senses and he said, what have I done? And he came back to his wife and he asked her to receive him back, and she did by the grace of God and by the mercy of God. And when they came back together, they had a child after that, this beautiful child. And at the time, you know, when he had the affair, he was the speaker. But because of the sin and because of the scandal, it completely devastated his ministry, right? Completely devastated the speaking. And he thought he would never build it back. But today, his ministry, he actually has a ministry to marriages. It's one of the most successful ministries in the world. And that child that he had after the Lord restored them has become the CEO of that company. Isn't that an amazing story? But I think about that story, and she's a living, breathing testimony to God will restore. God is faithful. God will reconcile. God will recompense. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And I believe God wants to do that in your life. I believe God wants to do signs. I believe he wants to do wonders, miracles. I believe he wants to move in such extraordinary ways. We're literally like Lazarus sitting at the table. You have living testimonies to God's goodness in your life. Amen? And I think some of you have that right now, but you just need to be reminded of it. You need to recognize it, and you need to praise the Lord for it. Amen? You need to praise the Lord for it. Each of my children, you know, are a testimony to God's goodness because in each season that they were born in, God was doing something very, very special. And there's something that marks each of my children for that season that they were born into. It's amazing. Oh, shakalabayambaya. Verse 3, but then Mary took a pound of very costly oil. Say very costly. This oil is very costly. Very costly. The things that are of real value in the kingdom of God, they're not cheap. They're very costly. In fact, I believe they'll cost you everything. They will cost you everything. How many of you guys know that God's not called us to date the Lord, right? This is, you will have no other gods before you. This is full commitment. This, I am your bride. You are my bridegroom. I am joined to you. Our life is one. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of that oil. I believe this is glory language here. The Bible even says that a woman's hair is her glory. I believe that when she gets down on her hands and knees and begins ministering at the feet of Jesus, and even the fragrance of that oil fills the house, I believe the Lord is speaking of his glory being released, right? You remember when in the Old Testament, when the temple was dedicated by Solomon, the Bible says the glory filled the house and the priests could not stand to minister. Amen? I want to tell you tonight that God wants to fill your house. God wants to fill your life. He wants to fill your marriage. He wants to fill every part of your life where literally the fragrance of heaven lingers on everything you do, on everything you're involved in. Amen? I don't know about you. That's what I want. I want people to know that I serve Jesus and I'm not of this world by the fragrance that I carry into the room when they meet me. And not just me, how about my children? How about my wife? How about my marriage is so heavenly? Me and my wife walk into the room and people know that we serve Jesus because of the fragrance of the glory that's on our lives. Amen? But once again, the Bible says it was very costly and she poured it all out. She spared no expense. So I believe when God calls us to pay the ultimate price, we have to pour out every last drop. We have to fully lay down our lives and not hold any back for ourselves. Amen? Bible says in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they held back some for themselves. I don't know about you, I don't want to have that spirit of Ananias and Sapphira. Amen? Verse 4 says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, so the spirit of betrayal here, the religious spirit, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? So the religious spirit always has a pretty good explanation as to why we shouldn't obey God, right? The religious spirit always has a justification as to why we shouldn't obey God. But how many of you guys know Mary was obeying the Lord here? Amen? This was a God-ordained thing. Have you ever been following the Lord? Have you ever even been in service, you know, and God's moving on you and you're doing something, you know it's the Lord that's moving on you to do it. Amen? I want to encourage you tonight, be sensitive to that. Be sensitive to that. Be sensitive when the Lord moves on you. The Bible says here in verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Very, very interesting. You know, he masked it with, hey, it's about the poor, but really there was an internal hidden motive as to what he was really going after. So I talk about how when God releases the glory and when he releases the spirit of revival, the Judases will come out. the religious spirit will come out to resist what God's doing. But here's what Jesus said, verse 7. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. In case you're wondering, the reason why I'm talking about this is because I believe that the Lord is about to release his glory in America in a fresh and profound way. Can I hear an amen? I believe that the Lord is about to begin to pour out his anointing and begin to pour out his oil, even in places like this, and the entire house will be filled with the fragrance. Our entire lives will be filled with the fragrance. Amen. Every facet of our being, every facet of our life will begin to be filled with the fragrance. And when the glory of God begins to be poured out, prepare yourself for the Judases to arise and resist it. Prepare yourself for the religious spirit to rise up, even in houses like this, and to say, I have a perfectly reasonable and logical reason why we shouldn't obey God. Are you hearing me? And it will usually always be involved with money, right? So that has to die. Amen. We have to lay that on the altar and say, the Lord is my source. Hey, shikalabashambabayambabaya. But Jesus said, let her alone. Just say that with me. Let her alone. You know what that means? When Jesus says, let her alone, it means when the glory begins to be poured out, there are certain things you shouldn't touch. There are certain things you should get your hands off. Get your hand off that ox cart. Get your hand off the ark. Remember that in the Old Testament? He put his hand on it, and he got struck down dead. How many of you guys remember the Brownsville revival? Does anybody remember the Brownsville revival? You remember how when the Lord showed up, how John Kilpatrick hit the deck, and he was like out for like 3 years? Now, there could have been someone that was like, now, come on, pastor, let's do all things decently in order, get it together here, you know, we need to administrate. No, but no, like every single service for 3 years, he's just out on the chair, right? And how many of you guys know the Lord took him out? Amen? The Lord took him out, and it was a sign and a wonder that, hey, this is my revival. I'm in charge. I don't know about you. I'm looking for some revivals where the Holy Ghost is in charge. Amen? Hey. But that, I believe, was something holy. Are you catching me, Pastor Josh? That was something holy that the Lord said, take your hands off. Take your hands off. There's many things in the ministry. There's many things in moves of God where it may be peculiar. It may be against our tradition. Jesus said the traditions of men make the word of God in an effect. We've got to be really careful about that, right? There's certain things, God, we haven't done this way, you know, always. We've had another tradition. There's certain things that happen and that God puts on people whenever revival comes. And we've got to really discern by the Spirit because the Lord will say, let it alone. Maybe someone's wailing in the back, you know, for a while, and they're getting delivered from spirits. We don't usually do that in our services, but there'll be times where the Lord will say, take your hands off, let it alone, let me work. Amen? There's a reason why I'm saying this. In case you're wondering, I'm prophesying. I'm prophesying that God's going to release his glory, I believe, in this church. Can I hear an amen? And what happens when God shows up and wrecks your perfect little Sunday setup? What happens when God shows up among the youth? Amen? Oh man, that usually happens in every revival. The Lord shows up among youth. Wasn't it young people at Asbury recently this year, right? Young people? I'm telling you, God is going to visit this generation right now. This new, what do they call it? The Zers and the Alpha. I can't even keep up with it all. But God's going to visit these young people. He's going to visit them mightily. And there'll be some that will come on the scene that will look like hell itself and will say, Lord, I'm the man of God. The anointing should have fell on me. Why is it on that one? And we got to be really, really careful because the Lord said, take your hands off. I'm going to raise up the next Lonnie for his peace. Are you hearing me this morning or tonight? I don't know what time it is. Hey, I just did it. I just followed it. Hey, she cut it. Or was it you that said that, right? Oh, man, I just did the pastor thing. Hallelujah. Oh, is this ministering to anybody? I know I'm kind of all over the place, testimony and prophetic word, but I just really felt I needed to release this word here tonight to kind of set the table for what we're going to expect the rest of this weekend. Because I don't know about you, I'm expecting God to show up. Is anybody expecting the Lord to move in here? I mean, I believe the Lord wants to do what I'm preaching right now. Why not here? Why not now? Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. So what is Jesus saying there? Jesus saying is what she's doing right now in breaking the alabaster box and pouring out the oil, she's actually doing according to Revelation. don't know about you, but Jesus isn't talking about his death in this passage. How does she know that this is for the day of his burial? How does she know that the day of his burial is near? It's because she's hearing the Holy Ghost. She's hearing the Spirit of revelation. There was something that she had prepared. She knew in her heart there was a day coming in which the Messiah has to die for the sins of the world. And when that day was approaching and she felt it in her heart, she broke that box and began to pour it out before the Lord. And then you got a Judas spirit that's rising up in the room saying, no, we can't do this. We could have given it to the poor. Had no discernment of the times and seasons of God. Right? So if you don't want to miss the next move of God, you've got to know the times and seasons. You've got to know the day and the hour of your visitation. And when God begins to pour out, let her alone. Are you hearing me tonight? I got it that time. Tonight. Hey. Oh, shakalabashambaya. But she had prepared this for the day of his burial. And I wanted to tell you tonight, God has prepared a special oil to pour out in the Northwest for the days that are coming. God has prepared a special oil, a special fragrance, a special anointing, I believe, for America for the days to come. Are you hearing me? Oh, shikalabashambaya. But before the Lord went to the cross, there was the Marys that had to sense it by revelation and begin to prepare the way. She had to prepare the way. This was preparation, okay? This was oil being poured out, and she was washing his feet, and she was ministering at his feet, and it was preparing for the burial. Amen? And I believe that even me here tonight, I'm like a Mary. I'm coming in with this fragrance. I sense this fragrance in the Spirit, and I'm ministering out of that fragrance. And I'm saying, prepare, prepare, prepare. There's a new move of God coming to America. Can I hear an amen? Verse 8, for the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. So Jesus refuted Judas's pharisaical or his religious reasoning with kingdom reasoning, with a kingdom explanation, right? And once again, it had to do with the times and seasons. It had to do with, hey, I'm not going to be here much longer, so that's why this has to happen right now. Amen? Verse 9, now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So be prepared, when God begins to move powerfully, there'll be people that will come not for Jesus. Did you just hear that? It said they didn't come for Jesus' sake. They came to see Lazarus. Be prepared. When God begins to pour out his Spirit, there'll be people that will come not for Jesus, but just to see the show. Just to see the circus because they're stirred up carnally in their curiosity. And that's why we can't just have revival and fireworks and miracles. We've got to call people to discipleship. We've got to call people to lay down their lives. We can't just see people revive, but we have to make disciples of all nations. Amen? Because it's the discipleship. And this is why the evangelist and the revivalist cannot be divorced from the local church. Amen? We can't just see people revived and saved and set on fire only to, you know, when the revival moves on or maybe it wanes a little bit, they just go right back out into the world because they stayed, you know, just for the revival. No, we got to see those roots go deep. Amen? We got to see those foundation built. We got to see people discipled in the ways of God. Amen? Because when you become a disciple, when you begin to mature as a son or a daughter, whether it's revival or whether it's the trials and seasons of life, you'll stay rooted and grounded in Christ no matter what. Amen? Hey, and I have this in my heart that we can see an influx of people coming into the kingdom. We can gather in the net, but we can keep many of them and not see them go right back out to the world once the fireworks slow down. Are you hearing me? I believe that's been one of the tragedies in history, is we've seen many revivals in the past where people get saved, but when the revival begins to wane, they go right back to their old lives. We saw that in the ministry of Jesus, right? Things got tough and a lot of them scattered. It was only ones that were really rooted deeply in Christ that stayed. But I want to see a revival, not just people getting saved, coming to the Lord, but I want to see people going deep with the Lord, deeply rooted with him. Amen? Verse 10, I'm almost done, I promise. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. And the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Now, once again, I want to remind you, this is something that had never been done before. This is something that was new. This was a new expression of the Spirit of God as he was moving on these people. And it was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. But these people felt compelled to say, "Hosanna," to break out the palm branches. So once again, a mark of a true move of God is God will move on people to do things that they're not used to doing. God will move on people to do things that maybe they're not familiar with. Amen? But they said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." So when Jesus begins to move in power and glory, his kingship is exalted. Verse 14, "Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.'" Now, this is just like the Lord, because this completely threw many of the Jews at the time. How many of you guys know that many of the Jews were expecting Jesus to come, the Messiah to come, as an overcoming, conquering king? They were expecting him to come in his pomp and come in his, I don't know, just all the kingly regality, you know, of the day. And they were expecting him to overthrow Rome, right, and restore the kingdom of Israel. That's what the disciples asked in the book of Acts. You remember, when shall you restore the kingdom of Israel? That's what they were all expecting. That was their eschatology, right? But usually when revival comes, the Lord will come in a way that many people are not expecting. They're expecting him to come as the high and risen king. He comes in on the colt. He comes in on the donkey, right, which represents humility. He came in this dispensation as the humble king, as the Lamb of God, to lay down his life. And many of the Jews were not expecting him to come in that form, therefore they missed him. Now the Lord will come, I believe, in all his forms. How many of you guys know when the Lord pours out, we're going to see his salvation, we're going to see his deliverance, we're going to see his healing, we're going to see all of it, amen? Because when the Lord comes, he does what he does. But there's usually a facet of his nature. There's usually like a facet of who he is that is personified, that is exemplified, that is highlighted. Amen? If you guys remember the revival in the 90s, wasn't it the Father's heart? Wasn't it intimacy? Does anybody remember that? Renewal days? I know my brother Bob does. Hey, you know, I know he does because he's still marked by it. Amen? Oh, that's the beautiful thing, is that when God really pours out, you become marked by that movement. You become marked by that manifestation of his presence. It changes your life forever. And I'm telling you, there's a new expression of King Jesus that's going to come to America. And we need to prepare our hearts now, because I don't know about you, I don't want to miss it. I don't want the Lord, when he comes, for me to reject it because I was expecting him to come another way. Are you hearing me? So the donkey represents humility. It represents, if you're going to receive the king, you got to humble yourself. Amen? You got to humble yourself. You have to realize that, you know, you don't know everything. Right? There's a big revelation. Hey, I have a great revelation for you tonight. You don't know everything. And you don't have to, because God knows everything for you. Amen? And he will search the deep things of God, even in your spirit. Amen? Oh, shikalabasambabaya. Verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, that they had done these things to him. Right? So this is my last verse for tonight here, verse 16. Very, very powerful verse. His disciples did not understand. You would have thought that of all the people that were poised to understand, it would have been the disciples that were with him day and night for those years. But be prepared. When God moves, many times your mind is unfruitful at first. So you have to learn to move from your spirit. You have to learn to discern with your spirit. Amen? I don't know about you. There's been many situations in my life where I thought with my mind, okay, this isn't right. You know, there's something wrong here. But with my spirit said, no, be careful. Wait a minute. Something going on here that you're not understanding. And I can't tell you how many times I just waited on the Lord. I just prayed a little more about it. Then my mind caught up with what my spirit was telling me. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody know? Many times the mind is not fruitful right away, and we need to be careful with the things of God. We need to be careful with the holy things of God. Jesus said, let her alone. The religious spirit will cause people to be puffed up, will cause them to be so convinced that they know what is best. But I'm telling you, many times we don't know what is best. You can have clear scripture, but if it isn't the Holy Spirit's interpretation, you can be resisting God. The Pharisees had clear scripture. They had clear scriptural justification of why they crucified the Lord of glory. But it was according to their mind, according to their interpretation, not according to God's. God will never violate the truth of his word, but he's happy to violate your understanding of it. Amen? So that's why we have to be very, very careful when we become so dogmatic and narrow in some of our theology. You know, of course, we should never move from Jesus is the only way. Can I hear an amen? Born of a virgin, died for our sins. There's some things we should never be moved from. Amen? But there's other things that we need to get on that donkey with the Lord. And we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, help me to discern. Help me to know no man after the flesh, but know according to the Spirit. The Bible says that when Paul first met the other disciples down in Jerusalem, it says they discerned with their spirit that he was a pillar in the church just like they were. We're called to know no man after the flesh, including the Lord. Amen? But I believe the Lord would release an anointing. I believe he would release a grace for us to not miss him when he comes. Amen? And some of you might say, well, we won't miss him. We go to church. You know, the Jews went to church every synagogue. They had the scriptures memorized. They were eagerly expecting the coming of the Messiah. But when he came, many of them missed him because it's a matter of the heart. Amen? It's a matter of the heart. So let's humble our hearts. Amen? Let's bow ourselves low before the King. Let's prepare ourselves for what God wants to do in this city, for what God wants to do in the Northwest, for what God wants to do in America. Let's prepare ourselves for the great harvest that God has for us. Amen? Last thing I'll say here before I pray is God does have a special calling on the Northwest. I'm going to talk about this, I think, a little more tomorrow because the Lord's been sending me to the Northwest a lot over the last few years, and we've seen incredible miracles, incredible signs and wonders the last few years here. And I believe there's a redemptive mantle, even of healing revival on the Northwest. It's not coincidence that John G. Lake's ministry was right up the road. It's not coincidence that we've seen, you know, so many amazing things come out of this place. And I believe that God is beginning to stir up some of those wells of revival again. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I had a little more just to revelate about tonight. I pray it's been a blessing. And I did want to release this message. How many of you guys were blessed by this message tonight? Anybody? Hallelujah. Come on, just give it up for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and take up the offering before we transition here tonight. And what I feel led to do tonight is I just want to open up the altars after I'm done taking up the offering. And if you would like prayer tonight, I just want you to come forward, and I'm just going to pray for people at the altar, just the praying of faith, the laying on of hands, amen. But tomorrow, I really want you to come back tomorrow if you can, because tomorrow I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to ask for words of knowledge. I'm going to ask for prophetic words, and I'm going to step out and do a lot of personal ministry tomorrow, right? I'm one of these preachers that can't just get up and preach all the time. I got to move in the stuff, amen. So we're going to see the gifts of the Spirit, I believe, at work tomorrow. Oh, Shikalabashambai. I was just in Los Angeles a few weeks ago. Before that, I was in Seattle. We saw some amazing miracles. We've been seeing creative miracles this year. I saw a man earlier who had been bit by a dog, and his hand was deformed and had all these scars on his hands. And we prayed for him when the creative miracle anointing came. And this is his words, not mine. He said, "The scars melted off my hand." I didn't even know scars could melt, you know. But he said the scars melted off my hand. And his hand that had become deformed from this accident, from this attack, it just returned to its normal shape. All the deformity left. So that was just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, right here in Seattle. Right here in Washington. And we're not in Seattle, but Washington, right? Amen. So we've been seeing creative miracles. We've seen a lot of deaf ears, blind eyes. Seen a lot of stomach issues, a lot of stomach issues. I can't tell you how many people I prayed for that were having massive stomach issues. Like they couldn't have a bowel movement for like weeks, and then I pray for them and they run for the bathroom. Hey. You know, I know that's a little personal, but hey, might be a prophetic word in there, right? Lord, clean us out. Clean out the church. Hey. but we've seen a lot of ulcers healed, a lot of ulcers, stomach ulcers. We've seen brain injuries healed. Check this one out. I've seen multiple testimonies this year of STDs healed, sexually transmitted diseases healed. Ones that they said would never leave their bodies, and then they go to the doctor and check them, they're gone. Isn't that amazing? I love that because the Lord, it's like a testimony to the Lord removes your sin and the effects of your sin, all by the power of the cross. So I want you to come back tomorrow. I want you to come to the altar tonight in faith, but I want you to come back tomorrow in faith and expectation. Bring someone that needs a touch from God. Amen. Hey, because I believe the Lord's just going to continue to move in here. Whoa. Wow, I'm feeling a word right now. There's someone that the Lord's going to touch tonight. It's a lady. It's in your lady parts, right? Being as gentle as I can. But there's a lady being healed, I believe, in that area of your body here tonight. I think it has something to do with an ovary, okay? Some sort of ovary. Does that make sense to anybody? Anybody know? It's not someone over here, is it? I know there's only a few ladies. Guys, don't raise your hand. Hey. Hey. The anointing gets moving sometimes. Or like, I was calling for pregnant ladies. Sit down, guys, right? Is that, yeah, I feel real strongly. Can you come here, please? Hey. Hey, I'm trying to take an offering here, Lord. Hey. Oh, I feel it real strong. My words of knowledge, when they start moving, I feel them very, very strongly. Just stand right here. Whoa, so you've just been having pain? That's what I felt. I felt the pain shoot right through it. And I don't have ovaries, so, you know. Hey. Oh, lift your hands. If I could have a catcher, please. Hey, whoa, the glory of God is just going to come on you right now. Oh, you feel that? It's coming. Angel Lord standing right next to me. Ooh, hallelujah. I just rebuke right now chronic pain right now in Jesus' name. I just remove every bit of trauma right now and trauma responses in Jesus' name. I say let your brain be healed, let the memories be healed right now, and let your woman parts be healed in Jesus' name right now, right now, right now. Fire of God through your body right now in Jesus' name. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, I feel the glory. There's someone over on my right here. You've had some sort of an accident, I believe, to your neck, even like the brain stem, and it causes constant tension and headaches and pain. And I even believe like blurry vision, that sort of thing. Where are you? Who is it? Right here? Come here. Does it make sense to anybody else, those things in particular? The blurry vision is a big one from some sort of a neck or a head injury. Does that make sense? All right, come here, come here. So what was it exactly? Did you have a car accident or something?
I've had several injuries to my head, falls, everything. It's several. I've had amnesia, double vision since I was a child.
Since you were a child, so it's been a while. Hey. Wow, I feel the fire of God. I believe you're going to be healed right now. How many of you guys want to believe with me for her to be healed right now? Not 50 years from now when we all got enough faith. Jesus has got enough faith right now. Whew. Whoa. Whoa. Just receive right now. Just receive right now. But there's prayer by faith, but there's also prayer by anointing. I feel the healing anointing in the name of Jesus. I command right now. You should feel heat coming on you in Jesus' name right now. I command all the pain to go right now. I command the brain stem, the neck, be healed in Jesus' name right now. Be healed in Jesus' name right now, right now, right now, right now. Fire of God right now. I'm going to lay my hands on your neck. In the name of Jesus, I command all amnesia, go. I command all blurry vision, go right now, right now, right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, namasambra kayara bosambabaya. Right now, in Jesus' name. Healing, Lord. Healing, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Oh, shikala bosambabayambrabaya. We just apply the oil right now, Lord. We apply the anointing right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew. I feel the peace of God. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Oh, is there like, you deal with torment as well? Like panic attacks, this sort of thing?
Yeah.
It's going right now in Jesus' name. Peace I give to you. There it is. There it is. Touch. In Jesus' name, peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that surpasses all understanding right now. I just command all the torment to cease right now in Jesus' name. All the torment to cease right now. Wow. You feel that peace? I feel the peace of God. That's all, a lot of times what we need for the mind, what we need for the soul. Well, but I just prophesy that there's an end to so many of these storms, so many of these mind games that the enemy has played on you. And I speak supernatural healing and rewiring in Jesus' name where it needs to happen right now. And I just see the Lord even working with just the chemicals and your hormones. We just command it to be normal, be the way God created it in Jesus' name. Bam! In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hey, does that make sense to you, the chemicals and everything?
Yeah, that's good.
It's happening in Jesus' name. Now, I a lot of times I'll ask this, okay? And whenever I ask, it's in the spirit of James 5. We want to pray, we want to check, right? Just like Elijah did. Because if we're believing for God to touch, right, we should check. Amen? But whenever I ask that you be completely honest. If nothing's happening, tell me, okay? Because I want to know how to pray. Amen? Is that all right? No pressure, no manipulation, okay? I don't want to ever say anything that isn't happening. But we do believe for the manifestation of the Spirit, you know? So are you feeling anything right now as we pray for you?
I'm feeling the Lord. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit on my hands.
Amen. I felt it too on my hands as well.
Yeah. And I know,
you're receiving by faith.
Yeah. And you were calling out the stuff that I've been dealing with.
And I've never met you, and that must have been the Lord, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So how would you know it? Ooh, I feel it again, fire. Hey, oh. Hey, shikala bosambabaya, hallelujah. Oh. Lord, I'm trying to conduct the interview here, hey. But how would you know if you were healed of like some of these things? I mean, obviously double vision would go, right?
Oh, I don't have double vision anymore. But I've had the severe head trauma and not had any, anyway.
So what are some of the lingering symptoms that you've still been dealing with?
You know, the tightness, my back goes out constantly. Yeah. I get migraines. I just have to shut down and, you know, it comes the panic stuff, the stomach issues.
Yeah. So even the stomach issues.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Lord targeted there when you were up here, the anxiety, the panic attacks.
Yeah. I'm so thankful. Praise you, Jesus.
Well, I believe you're receiving as well. And that peace that just I feel coming over you, I just prophesy it's going to remain with you. Even as you sleep, even as you go to work, about your day, whoa, the peace of God. Situations that have overtaken you and that have been too much for you to bear. I see like in situations where you just like shut down at times, but the Lord says, peace I give you in Jesus' name. Peace I give you. And you're not subject to just the whim of those things that overtake you, but I pray you be overtaken by the Spirit of God and by His peace in Jesus' name. Hey, whoa. I'm getting a word right now. I don't know if this is for you or if this is someone else. Did you have some sort of a problem go? Do you have children? Yeah. Did you have some sort of a problem go wrong with like an epidural when you had a child?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
I have four beautiful epidurals, so that's not me.
You had four epidurals. There's no sort of a lingering issue with that?
Mm-mm.
No. There's no, like, is there, a nerve problem in one of your legs?
No.
No. Does that make sense to anybody else? Sorry, I'm getting this word right now. God bless you. God bless you. Does anybody have some sort of a lingering symptom from when you had a child? Obviously, this is for the ladies only as well, guys. Hey, but I felt that real strong, that there was some sort of a lingering issue. Could even be linked to, like, an epidural, right, where they got the epidural wrong or whatever. So if that makes sense, let me know. Hey, just lift your hands right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's not you, is it, Lisa? No? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, thank you for touching us, Lord. Thank you for healing us, Lord. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit. Hey. Hey. There's somebody over here has a problem with your right foot. I think it's like your right toe. I think it was crushed at one time or something, giving you issues. Where are you? Who is that for? I believe it's the right toe. Is that you, sweetie? Does that make sense? If it makes sense, just go ahead and come forward. We can have a few people too, all right? It's right here on this side of the room. Is your left toe? Come here. I'll pray for the left too. I feel it in my right. Come here. It got jammed. Is that what I'm feeling? I can feel jammed toes too. Hey, go ahead and take my hand. Are you the one with that nerve issue as well? I'm feeling as well. Shooting nerve issue. There's a lady here with some sort of a shooting nerve issue, like down your leg. Is that you? Yeah, pain down that leg. I believe the Lord's going to touch you right now. Just go ahead and take another step forward here. Just lift your hands. Just begin to prepare. Lift both your hands, ma'am. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We just say, loose your power, loose your glory right now. We pray, touch your feet, Lord God. Whoa, touch your toes, Lord. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. Touch in Jesus' name. Oh, shakalaba samba baya. Fire of God on her in Jesus' name. I just speak that word of peace over you as well. I speak that word of peace over you as well. Hey, that you would not be subject to outside influence, but you would be under the authority of the Holy Spirit, that He would move you, that He would move you. I just hear the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to move you. I'm going to move you. Oh, shikalabathombra bayesha babaya. Peace I give to you. Peace I give to you. And I just feel the Lord saying strongly to you, a word of wisdom, don't do it unless the peace of God is there. I feel like there's a big decision coming up, could involve moving, could involve some major life transition. But the Lord says, don't do it unless the peace is there. All right? So you may not know what I'm talking about now, but you will when it matters, all right? But the peace of God, the peace of God, very, very important, okay? Hey, so is this toe you said? Yep. You said you just jammed it?
Yeah, but the chiropractors worked on it. My masseuse.
The chiropractors worked on it. Yeah. I didn't know they could work on toes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, those guys. Poor gals. Hey, how's it doing now?
Fine.
It's fine? Hey, Lord, we bless her in Jesus' name. Go and be healed. Hey. So what issue do you have here? What are you coming up here for again? Sorry, I already
forgot. Well, you had mentioned the toe, and so I did damage my nail bed years ago.
Okay. All right, take another step forward here. And then do you have digestive issues as well?
I do.
You do. The Lord's touching it right now. Ooh, I feel the fire coming again. Hey, oh. And you said there's some sort of a pain that is it shoot down your leg? Is it shooting pain?
It's more of an ache. But
it's more of an ache, just a constant pain down this thigh here?
No, it goes down the front of my leg.
Yeah, the thigh there. That's the thigh, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you said meant over here.
No. Whoa, shikata. So that could be that I was sensing. Take one more step forward, please. And just put your hands on your stomach. I still feel there's another lady here very, very strongly that's had some sort of a complication since a birth at one point. And the Lord's going to heal this, and I believe it's going to be a sign to you, actually. So if that makes sense, please come forward. Come on, just stretch your hands right now, saints, in Jesus' name. Hey, you came back up here. I got the word when you were here. One second. What's going on?
I can't believe it, because I realized one of the times I got the epidural, my labor, I just never thought of it as an epidural problem. But the labor, the hard labor stopped, and I just, like, passed out from being in labor. And I slept for, like, 5 hours, and they woke me up and said, you're ready. You're at 10. You got to deliver. And my baby, my second born, Evie, her name means life. Wow. Anyway, she was born not breathing, and she was literally purple. And I had a doctor that was a believer, and he held her by her feet, and he was like, smack, and he said, you're gonna breathe. But I don't know how long. She was born not.
And the doctor said this was due to the epidural somehow?
No, they just were like, oh good, she started breathing. But she had some autistic stuff. Oh, this is so personal because I said her name. But she got through that, and then as an adult, she was diagnosed with too much, like, hyper, I can't even think right now, but the too much fluid on the brain, you have anything, and it can raise your...
She's still dealing with this stuff now?
She's she's been diagnosed with a rare disease. It's serious.
What's her name again?
Evie.
Can we pray for Evie real quick? Father, we lift up Evie, Lord. Her name means life, and we just speak life, life, life over her in Jesus' name. Oh, shakalabashambabaya. Lord, whatever is going on with her, Lord, we just apply the finished work of the cross to her body, to her brain, Lord, the top of her head, to the soles of her feet. We speak life over Evie in Jesus' name. We pray for a complete healing, Lord. We pray for a complete miracle in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, shakalabashamba. Lord, we just stand with this mother, Lord, in faith, Lord, believing for you to touch her, Lord God. In Jesus' name. And Lord, let it be a sign and let it be a testimony to your goodness, Lord. Even like Lazarus sitting at that table in that story, let it be a sign, Lord, to everywhere she goes, Lord, everyone she meets, Lord, of God's goodness and God's power to heal and deliver. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray, bless Mama in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. Put your hands on your stomach again. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Release your power, Lord, right now. I just command the stomach to be made whole in Jesus' name. I command the feet to be made whole. The pain in the leg, I command to go. Touch in Jesus' name right now, right now, right now. All that, those stomach issues, intestinal issues, go right now in Jesus' name. And see, not everybody has to fall. It's all right. I see just as many people healed who don't fall as they fall. Hey, so whatever the Lord does, in Jesus' name. Oh, Shambabaya. Do you mind telling me what the stomach issues have been? Has it been diagnosed? How would you know if you were healed?
It's just a chronic constipation. I deal with chronic pain and just a host of issues.
And that's what I was talking about tonight. I've seen a lot of miracles this year, even in that realm. So one more time, put your hands on your stomach. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for healing. Come on, say, stretch your hands. Believe with me. We believe for healing right now. In Jesus' name, we apply the finished work of the cross, Lord, to her body. In Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we just thank you that that the host of chronic issues are going in Jesus' name. They're going in Jesus' name. We claim it by faith in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, all the other pain go in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and be healed. God bless you. Come on, give the Lord a mighty shout for that. Hallelujah. So I thought I was going to save that for tomorrow, but Lord just kind of had me dip in a little bit. Hey, how are you doing, by the way? I felt a very strong anointing on you. Yeah. Is that pain gone yet? It's off and on. Okay. Ghosting pain. Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. This wasn't related to a pregnancy with you, was it? Yeah. Yeah. Just so you know, the way the word of knowledge works with me, like when I get stuck on a word, the Lord doesn't let it go, and it's in the room. So God is doing it. I just declare in Jesus' name miracles and healing over pregnancies that have difficulties in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for that. But I believe you're being healed. I have a strong witness of the Lord. And we just pray that the pain would go and never come again. How many of you guys want to agree with me on that? Hallelujah. Amen. So at some point this weekend, maybe we'll do some testimonies. And please, if I prayed for you, let us know how you're doing, all right? Tomorrow, if you come back to the service, you know, come up to me, come up to pastors. Let us know how you're doing because we want to celebrate that. Amen. So real quickly here, let's go ahead and administrate this. Can I have an usher or someone to help me here? Anybody? Hey, Shikalabaya, Pastor Josh, somebody. So we're not going to take it up at the moment here. I want to pass these out. I need someone to help me pass these out. So, yeah, can you make sure everybody's got one of these? So I'll take one of them. These are our brochures here, okay, our brochures. And they're for our ministry. They talk about just a current mandate that we have from the Lord, and they have other information as well. A little word about my family, our ministry. They got on the back here all of our, you know, website, social media, all that good stuff. But on this inside leaf here, you have all the information you need to be able to give digitally. So if you want to give through Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, if you want to go to our website and give a one-time gift, it's all right there. And it also tells you who to make checks out to, Lion of Light Ministries. So If you'd like to make out a check tonight, you can make it out to Lion of Light Ministries, or LLM. None of that LOL stuff. Praise God. LLM. And like I was saying before, you know, just be obedient. Yeah, we'll wait a minute and I'll pray over it. But just be obedient to the Lord, right? So I just would like everybody just take a moment, just you and the Lord, and say, Lord, what would you have me do tonight? What would you have me do tonight? If you're watching online on Facebook, you can go to our website, lionoflight.org. You can give securely that way. So you can give digitally with your smartphone. You can give with cash. You can give with a check, Lion of Light Ministries. We also have these envelopes here. If you don't want to mess with a smartphone to give with a debit or credit card, you can just write it manually on the envelope. And we handle these with the utmost security, and then we shred them once they're ran. So does anybody need an envelope tonight? Anybody? We got a few here. So Pastor Josh, could you help me? Just stick your hand up. Keep your hand up if you need one. There we go. And you can give with the envelope as well. Praise the Lord. So yeah, I'm going to talk more tomorrow probably about what's on that pamphlet. I talk about a visitation from an angel called Healing Revival earlier this year. And this is an angel, I believe it's moving in the Northwest right now, to work with the church to release Healing Revival once again in America. Hey, whoa, shakarabaya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do it again, Lord. But just take a moment and just be obedient. Amen. Ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? A lot of times the Lord will just give me a strong impression of a number, or, you know, I'll see a picture, you know, but just be obedient. Do what the Lord says to do. And if you didn't come ready to give tonight, there'll be an opportunity tomorrow. There'll be an opportunity Sunday morning. And we just want to be obedient. Amen? Hey. So I'll give you just one more minute there. Fill out your checks. Fill out your smartphone information. Your envelopes. And then I'm just going to begin to pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this church, God. I thank you for Echo Hills Church. Thank you for the work that you're doing here, Lord, to disciple, to train, to raise up, to make room for the Holy Spirit to move. And Lord, even as we give tonight, Lord, we give for the purpose of revival, Lord. We give, Lord, unto you, Lord. Oh, shikalabasamba bayamba, and we ask you to move, Lord. We thank you for this word tonight from John chapter 12, Lord. And we ask that you would begin to just pour out that costly oil. Begin to pour out, Lord, the oil, and let the fragrance of the anointing of the Holy Spirit begin to fill our houses once again. Not just our houses of worship like this, Lord, but our homes that we raise our children in, Lord. Our homes that we live in, Lord. Every place we go, Lord, fill the workplace, God. Just pour out, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, let us not be of a Judas spirit. Let us not be of a religious spirit that will find reasons to resist what God's doing. But help us, Lord, to discern and to know what you are telling us to take our hands off of, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would grant unto us a spirit of humility and meekness. That we would get on that donkey with Jesus and we would humble ourselves to receive the King. To receive the King in whatever form he comes in, Lord. Let us not miss the day of our visitation, Lord. Let us not miss the day of our visitation. But Lord, tonight in our giving, we just partner with you, Lord. We give unto you, not ultimately unto a man, but unto you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that even as your people give, that you would give unto them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Lord. I pray that you would finance, Lord, this great end-time harvest, Lord, that it'd be fully financed, Lord, here in the Northwest for all the kingdom work that you want to do, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. We worship you with our giving tonight. We worship you with our giving tonight. We give you all the glory, Lord, all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so if you're ready to give, we'll go ahead and pass these baskets around. Given faith, believe with us for God to do everything that God's calling, or for us to do everything that God's calling us to do. We have a mighty mandate, a mighty call from the Lord in this season, like many people, and God's going to meet every need. Amen. He's going to supply every last dime that we need to do what God's calling us to do. You know, I'll talk more about this tomorrow, but we believe that God is going to pour out in such a significant way. Where the stadiums are going to be filled in America once again. Can I hear an amen? And, you know, we've been seeing stadiums filled for a while, right? We have a lot of great events, but how about stadiums being filled, not because we got some big-name speakers on the ticket, but how about stadiums being filled with the power of God? How about stadiums being filled with, hey, they don't even know who's ministering, don't even know their name, something about nameless, faceless, right? And people are showing up because God's moving so powerfully. That's my dream. And I believe that God gives big dreams, but he gives the finances to finance the big dreams as well. Amen? And I believe that's where we're heading to. I believe we're headed to massive harvest in America, such as we've never seen, but not just any harvest, harvest with real power. Amen? With a real demonstration of the power of God. So I'm going to go ahead and just pray one more time here. And I don't know, Pastor, if you want to just, if you need to say anything after this, but do you want me to just go ahead and close the service? Yeah, I'm going to pray for people, open up the altars. But did you want to say anything before we did that? Okay, tomorrow night at 7, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight, Lord. We thank you for the word that's gone forth. I pray seal that in our hearts, Lord. Seal the truth of it, Lord. And let not the enemy steal one seed that has gone forth. Let each seed, Lord, bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we just give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your touch, Lord. Thank you for visiting us here tonight. And Lord, we thank you that tomorrow there's going to be an increase in Jesus' name. We thank you that you would continue to just pour out your spirit in Jesus' mighty name. We love you, Lord. We expect you to move in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one more word that the Lord just gave me right now. There's someone this weekend that's going to be healed of some sort of issue with the colon. Okay, some sort of issue with the colon. I believe it's a chronic colon issue, okay? So, of course, if that's you, come up front. I want to pray for you tonight. But here's how what we'll do tonight. You know, I'll just go ahead and open these altars, and if you need prayer, just go ahead and come forward, and I can pray for a little bit here individually. But if we have too many people, I might have to have Pastor help me here. You know, pastors help me here. We got two pastors. Hallelujah. This is great. Not just one. But yeah, just go ahead and come out of your seats if you need prayer. Just go ahead and fill this altar area here, and we'll begin praying for people, all right? So I don't know if you want to put on music or whatever. God bless you.